Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I do want to talk about Tim Tebow.
Yes.
I got this book right here. I keep this book in my office. I just love this his tenacity and his drive. And I have his training video, how he trains. I don't train like him,
you know.
But in my head, I'm thinking like, I can pull that truck, put that tire. I got a little small little, you know, hot rod tire I flip over.
That's how you do.
Yeah, and then what I'm going to talk about too is Tim Tebow. I got right here, thanks to Brett Holderbaum. I don't know if you can see this right here. I have a Denver picture right here from Tim Tebow when he was playing for Denver. And I want to have a conversation with you about Tim Tebow, because this helps us begin to get perspective. Helps us begin to get perspective about how the adversary works. And we're learning how these things work.
Right.
You know, are they using tips from Lucifer to be able to organize the world? That's the thing.
Sure.
So, the Tim Tebow factor is what we're talking about now in this aspect of it. Now, Tim Tebow, he played with the Florida Gators,
sure,
and did really well. He pretty much allowed people to hang around him while he scored touchdowns.
They said he's one of the best college football players of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Of all time.
But I mean, the players just kind of hung around him and stuff. He just pushed through everything. And it makes you think about Samson and his strength and all that. And, you know, correct me in regards to if I get this right, because I know that you have, every now and then you look outside of Drew Brees and see that other world exists.
Oh, wow.
And
Sometimes.
And, but from there, he wanted to play so bad. He wanted to play so bad into the NFL that, but they weren't picking him. They have like draft picks, and they weren't picking him. And so he cut a deal with the Denver Broncos by a pay deal. And basically the deal was, you know, pay to play. You know, that if I do good, pay me this amount of money. If I don't do good, you don't have to pay me that amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically like if I...
Performance,
yeah. And that's not people's... The worldly dream is like, I got the job, they're going to pay me $10 million. Well, here is a light perspective, a Christian perspective. It's like, I just want to play football, and I believe that, you know, I could do this thing. And so he said, hey, if I score, then, you know, performance pay. And so here he is, the quarterback for the Denver Broncos, and he is scoring, and we're going to show you in a minute some things, not now, we're going to show you in a minute, but I just want to back you up a little bit, because we're talking about, you know, we're going to talk about the Tebow factor. Are they using tips from Lucifer to organize the world and America and the world? And it's because there's this most curious factor. Because there's other Christian NFL players, there's Christian NBA players, there's Christian baseball players, and
most definitely,
yeah, and that's for you, Elijah. And although I was watching the good game today, but why was this big assault on this Tim Tebow?
Sure.
Why on him? And so let's just back up a little bit, because we're talking about, as we heard earlier on, we're walking through these, and you got to hear them in context. If you're hearing them out of context, you know, realize it's out of context, and then you're going to have to let everybody know this is out of context,
right,
but I'm just telling you what I heard or what I saw on Christian Television Network, that, and we all prophesy in part and we all know in part, but I'm just sharing with you what God has revealed to me at this particular point, that if you go back and listen to these segments on VFN Radio, VFNTV.com, you'll hear where we're playing a panel at the JFK library, and there's a panel there, and this is prior to anybody being selected, and they're deciding on who they're going to select. They're going to select.
Right.
And this is the way it works anyway. We're naive if you don't think that, because your representatives represent you, and so everybody has to be selected by somebody. you know, in regards to the majority of folks. And so they were determining what who they wanted to select. Didn't mean that their particular person was going to make it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But they said they were looking and believing for a transformational presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is before anybody was being chosen, but they did talk about three particular candidates there, and the candidates were the ones that were running at the particular time. This is the DNC. So we're talking about the Tim Tebow factor. Are they using Lucifer tips to organize America and the world? You say, what does that have to do with it? Well, think about it. Like I said, there's so many different Christian sports figures out there, but what was this big assault on, apparently on this player who's basically playing, you know, pay me if I do well, performance pay.
Mm-hmm.
He did well. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, we want to find out what happened in 2008. Remember, the DNC, when you look at the progressives, and they have an idea of progressiveness, which means the Constitution is just an old thing, and the Declaration of whatever, and let's just kind of move beyond that, and there's more than one God. It's a whole different concept in the context of that. And that's not with us. We actually say, well, you know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that His Word of God, the Word of God stands, God is God, and that God rose this nation up, and they declared their independence from a king only because they understood that we could be one nation under God. And outside of that, you have to be under some sort of other form of authority because it's we the people. And then the Constitution came in. The very First Amendment just clarified the fact is, listen, we got to maintain our relationship with God to have all this. So the government cannot even interfere with, make no laws concerning Congress, who's actually the only one who's supposed to be able to make any kind of laws.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot make any laws concerning religion or even the gathering up. And so they did that. That was the founding principles. Well, a progressive would say, that's just a list of negative rights. And, you know, we want to design a utopia for them. We talked about that. But understand this. So that eventually, and this was what Reverend Jeremiah Wright said, the pastor of Senator Barack Obama up until the time when he was running for presidency, but he married the president, and he married Michelle, and I spent 20 years, reportedly 20 years, you know, in his ministry there. And so he would know him well. He said that as he was, it seemed like what he was saying, you can go back and you can listen to him. He was on the Sean Hannity show, and they were, Reverend Wright was trying to explain to people that were wanting things from President Obama. He says, you have to understand that he was selected before he was elected. Before y'all elected him, he was selected, and he's got to be able to respond to the ones that selected them. He began to name off some different ones, and you can hear it. And that's kind of normal. It's not. I don't think that's unusual because they're representative government. You got to find out. But it's important who's selecting you, by the way. And so then when you become president, when you become a senator of a state, when you become a governor, you don't get there because you had a good idea. You get there because you had an idea that majority of those folks agreed with, or you agree with the majority of the folks. Either way, there's a majority that put you there. And so just like Woodrow Wilson and the whole progression that we talked about, which you can find on the VFN Torch, and hopefully it's a related link to this particular segment that you're listening to if it's on the VFN Torch, that so he was selected because they were deciding, and you can go back and listen to it, which one would they actually select that would have a transformational
presidency.
Right. And so when you heard President Barack Obama speak about, you know, fundamental transformation, understand that was the folks that selected him.
That was already being discussed. Yeah,
they were trying to decide who was the one they're going to select.
Right.
You know, based on what we're learning and seeing as things are unfolding. And we're not, you know, we're not talking politics. We're just talking about this is our president. And these are the folks that want to fundamentally transform our nation. In the context of that, we're trying to say, well, we don't want to leave God. We don't want to, you know, and we're finding everything is against, appears to be against the values of Jesus and God and the founding principles and the founding fathers. So what happened when they finally made a choice and they decided which one it's going to be? Well, they do that at their conventions, like the GOP will pick somebody and the DNC will pick somebody. Mm-hmm. And when they finally decided who they were going to select, to be the presidential candidate for the DNC, it happened at Mile High Stadium.
Hmm.
It happened at Mile High Stadium, which is a high place. And if you're if you haven't read the Word of God lately, understand that Satan wants to be, Lucifer wants sacrifices made in the highest places for him, all the way from the Tower of Babel all the way down. Build something high and sacrifice in the face of God.
Yeah.
You know, sacrifice something to me. Mm-hmm. So here, this is Mile High Stadium, right where the Denver Broncos play. There was this, and understand, so when whoever the selected one is that comes out, understand they paid a huge price to be there. That's true. But understand, but they had to be selected to be there too. So everybody's putting on this whole presentation. They talk about styrofoam columns and all this kind of stuff, but it was a big, huge presentation. It makes me think about, and I'm not saying any comparison in the context of this, but, you know, when the Goebbels, you know, with that was originally under Woodrow Wilson, that eventually went up under Hitler, Adolf Hitler, to be able to help promote his concepts. Mm-hmm. He produced a film. He presented things just right. And his goal was that aspect of it. And so you think about it, that how you present things. I even think about President Ronald Reagan, his right-hand man, who was always thinking about how he was presented. They would always set the shot up. They would always set it up. You know, whether if it's a, they want to make it look right, the backdrops and that type of
thing. We talked about this on The Torch. I mean, Hitler would practice his poses.
Oh, yeah.
On how he would be demonstrative to get his message across.
Right.
They were big time into movie production.
Yeah, and we did talk about Goebbels as well, and you can find that out. It'll be a related article on The Torch in the context of that. Speeches matter.
Mm.
And so, but understand that it's not just one man. That, and if you would have heard, you know, what God said to us, and we hope it's not true, and we've been praying that it wouldn't be true, but it's almost like that this person has been set up for the progressives to be able to get their agenda. And we heard a particular prophetic man speak to us even recently that he would regret that it ended up the way it ended up, but wasn't his original intent. But either way, so here we are at the Mile High Stadium, right, in 2008. So they've made their selection. So understand, it wasn't one man walking out. It was the whole movement that said, we have found the one, the offering, the one. And remember this. Well, we'll go ahead and watch this. I want you to see just the beginning of it. Now you have a context.
Now it is our responsibility.
We'll wait right here.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You can see this on the BFN Torch. You're watching on Christian television. You can see it behind me.
Chairman Dean and my great friend Dick Durbin, and to all my fellow citizens of this great nation, with profound gratitude and great humility, I accept your nomination for presidency of the United States. Let me express my thanks to the historic slate of candidates who accompanied me on this journey, and especially the one who traveled the farthest, a champion for working Americans and an inspiration to my daughters and yours, Hillary Rodham Clinton. To President Clinton, to President Bill Clinton, who made last night the case for change as only he can make it. to Ted Kennedy, who embodies the spirit of service. And to the next Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, I thank you.
What you're listening to is the acceptance speech of then-Senator Barack Obama, who was being nominated by the Democratic National Convention at Mile High Stadium. So you have to understand, this was all being set up prior to him being selected. So when we're talking about these things, we're talking about God. It's a light perspective, and we're talking about God loves all mankind.
Sure.
And that a darkness is over the whole earth, thick darkness is over mankind. Jesus, the light of the world, he came into the world, and he bared, not only he was the light, but he actually gave us the light if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. And now we are carriers of the light, and he calls us to be the light of the world. So we're all under darkness outside of the light. So this is strictly what we're talking about, what I'm talking about. You can watch the video in its entirety, you know, on the VFN Torch, the context of that. So when he was selected, when they made their selection, he was the one they selected, and this is how they presented him. Mm-hmm. They presented him like this. And notice that they called him, and when you listen to it, when they were deciding who they were going to select, he was the least likely who would have bought in based on his own record, what they're saying. He was more of the middle of the road in regards to not these far out.
Yeah, I think they call him a centrist.
He was more of a centrist in the center versus this way far left-leaning aspect of it. And they said, the question was, they asked at that, and you can when they're looking at who they're going to select at the JFK Library, and they're just talking out loud, and they said that it has to be somebody that, do they have the character? Mm-hmm. Who are they? They have to have the character to do this, the nerve to be able to do this. And they were wondering who would have the nerve to do it. And it looks like he went from the centrist, based on their comments, to those who selected him the way he wanted to go in the context of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's showing that he had the character and the nerve to be able to allow that to take place. And this is the interesting thing about that, is that even Jesus, and every one of you're given this point, and we're all given this point. There'll be a day that things are brought before you where the adversary will say, Lucifer's going to tell you this. He's going to tell you this probably through someone, that if you follow me, if you join me, if you partner with me, if you marry me, if you bow down to me, I'll give you this. I'll give you this. This is what he told Jesus. He said, he took him quickly and showed him all the nations of the world, and he said, all the authority and their splendor has been given to me. I can give it to anybody I want. If you offer yourself to me, if you bow down to me, I'll give them to you. Mm. This is not about America, folks. Mm. This is a world transformation that's taking place before our eyes. And we're talking about what happened in the high place. What happened in the high place? As I was speaking, and the Lord was speaking to me this morning, I was talking to Brett down in Miami, and he's down there. Give a shout out to Brett this morning, and but he's from, you know, Colorado, and works with Frontier Airlines up there. There's some pretty cool things going on at Frontier. But the Lord has been speaking to me for some time about my Mile High Stadium, which is where the Denver Broncos play. And if you study high places, it's very important to God, and it's very important to Lucifer, Satan, that he wants all the high places. Mm-hmm. If you notice that when somebody who's really sold out to darkness and, you know, just they're doing business the wrong way, they always want the very top suite on the very top of the tallest building in some city somewhere, because they want everybody to see them in the high place.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But the high places have always been an issue, and God doesn't want us to offer anything on any high place. But I do want to say this, that Jesus was offered. Mm-hmm. Jesus was offered up on a high place on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only offering there needs to be in the context of physically being offered.
It is finished.
It is finished. And if you'll accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, all this other stuff is just manipulation in the context of it, and darkness and being organized by Lucifer. And so any other way is a thief and a robber is what Jesus said. And so here we are, you know, why was, what's this Tim Tebow factor? You know, are they using Lucifer tips to organize America and the world? And it's like, so you have this young man who grew up with Christian parents, who was in the Philippines, a missionary with his parents, and mm-hmm. helped out with orphanage and played football at the Florida Gators. He went on and basically sold himself on to the Broncos, saying that pay for performance, you know, and it's quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he did so well. The whole, everybody was just, it was amazing. People that don't even read their Bibles and people that don't even show up at church. And it's like, did you see him? He said the word Jesus. And it's like, okay, great, cool. This is good. And it's, I'm all for that. I'm thinking like, wow, sports. Okay, so in the context of that, that he's, the whole nation became aware of God.
Yeah.
Jesus. Which, by the way, Lucifer hates Jesus. Mm-hmm. Lucifer hates God.
Mm-hmm.
God hates Lucifer. It's a mutual feeling in the context of that. But we have to understand now, you know, right prior to Tim Tebow, this man who the whole world knows he loves Jesus and is just bold, you know, and he works really hard playing football, so he's a good football player, and God's blessed him with some physical attributes to be able to do that. And so he shows up. He shows up and he starts playing on the Mile High Stadium. What's he playing on? He's playing on the altar where those who made their selection gave that over. And you think, well, how could that be? Well, let's just back up a minute. Remember, because this is what happened. This is what Lucifer told Jesus. He said this. He said, Jesus, Son of God, Jesus, if you, he showed him all the nations of the world, not just America. We're only 5% of the population. He showed Jesus all the nations of the world, and he said, I will give you. If you bow down, if you offer yourself to me, if you give yourself to me, if you become one of Alinsky's children, if you use Lucifer tips, the tactics of Lucifer, there's 13, you know, think about it. Mm-hmm. If you give yourself over to me, then I will give you the authority and the splendor of these kingdoms. They've been given to me, and I'll give them to anybody I want. So if you have somebody who's wanting to rule the world, like Hitler wanted to rule the world, you know, and there's always men wanting to rule the world. George Soros is wanting to, mm-hmm. to rule the world, and you know, and there's men, you know, that want to rule the world. And I'm just trying to live my life, but that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And they want to rule the world. And so they're battling against God, because God is the ruler of all things. And so but if you bow down to him, because if you offer yourself to him in his ways, if you become a follower of Lucifer, if you follow his teachings, even religious teachings, if you just follow him, this is what Revelation chapter 2 talks about. When he talks about the church of Thyatira, you let yourself be led astray by Jezebel, mm-hmm. male or female, who calls themselves someone who hears from God, but she misleads all of my people into all these, and begins to list all these sins, including sexual sins and all these different things, and said that I gave her time to repent, but she wouldn't. But if her children don't repent, they'll end up in the same bed of suffering that she's in, which means that her children follow her teaching. So when we say children, is what we're talking about. So if you say, hey, you know, I use the name of Jesus, but I follow Lucifer's teachings, that's the church of Thyatira. That's the church of Thyatira. And he's saying, listen, I have this against you because you're following the teachings of this false prophet. You're not following God. Mm-hmm. This is Jesus talking to John at the Revelator. And so at that point, then it makes sense. Why in the world then did our president immediately go from there to the Mile High Stadium to rapidly, you know, going to the presidency of the United States, with a breeze, then going to the apology tour around the entire world? Why did he speak at the German gate? Why did he speak at all these different places? Why have all of a sudden the Arab League, all these Muslim nations all of a sudden coming together in unity? Why is Gog and Magog say, I'll transmit this to Vladimir?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why is all this taking place simultaneously? Like all of a sudden there's some sort of authority that was given to these folks who said, listen, we want to select an offering. We want to set up an offering. Set up. That's what God told us.
Yeah.
Is that this has been a setup. This has been a setup. And in the context of that, you know, you could be set up. People could be set up. And that's what God has said, being set up. understand selected. So notice the big world turn. All of a sudden, our president C not only became a transformable president C, but became a world transformer in the context of that. The George Soros League and Hillary Clinton League of context of, you know, we just need to ease down the European Union, these borders, and this is happening. That's like, it's like the authorities of the world has been given to this these folks, right? The authority of these kingdoms have, because they're effectively doing this. They're effectively organizing the world. But you have to understand, you first got to bow down and say, you know, here is a sacrifice. You got to say, here is a sacrifice. And so they had to say, who are we going to select? Who's going to do this? Who has the guts, the nerve? Who has the character so that we can select them? And Reverend Jeremiah Wright, the pastor of, former pastor for 20 years, who married President Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, said, y'all have to understand he was selected before he was elected. So, you know, he's basically saying, you know, give him a break. He's got people he has to do some things for. And that's where I believe he went from centrist, from centrist to this other far liberal leaning type areas in the context of that. And so then we're looking and say, oh, because now all of a sudden the speech at Cairo University, the very first international speech, is empowering the Muslim Brotherhood. All of a sudden, how do you have authority over the Muslim Brotherhood? How are they now listening to you? And how did all of a sudden the president of Egypt, all of a sudden not even show, the president didn't even show up when the president of America showed, the president of Egypt didn't show up. And all of a sudden, I consider it my job as the president of the United States to defend fight against every negative type of, stereotype of Islam anywhere it's found in the world. It's like all of a sudden now authority in Islam, authority in the Muslim Brotherhood, authority in Egypt. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get understanding of what happened at the high place, at the Mile High Stadium, and understand. So now we understand how Tim Tebow got there, who he is, and now he has this bold, he has the whole world now focused on, because it appears, like we said, it appears like an authority has been shifted in splendor. Has been shifted because our current presidents and those that select the current president, has been selected. There's a splendor about him. He has this kind of glow and this kind of glitter, and you can look at. He's just like, he's just cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's got the splendor about him, and he's just very populist. I guess he's populist. So no matter where he goes, in the context of, you know, it just like there's authority in the world. There's authority in the world, and there's splendor that's there. And that's what Jesus was offered in the context of that, in a selection. So here, all of a sudden, right there on this ground, that would be considered a ground that was given over to this offering. Now, this Christian is there, and the whole world's attention is paying to this ground. And that it appears that those who selected our current leader, their goal was a dark goal, the Alinsky goals, of Lucifer tips, but now you have the light show up, and will he in that very same place, now will he bow down to God on that very same land? Let's watch this. It's 2011 now, and this is a man that had to pay to play there, had a performance and pay. His name is Tim Tebow, and watch this. You got to see. You can see this on the VFN Torch, but those who are watching on Christian Television Network can see it.
Continue here. Jets show blitz. They're going to bring it. Tebow trying to run around the corner. Tebow's got a first down and more. He might score. Touchdown!
It is amazing as you watch this, and you can see this on the VFN Torch, that he scored the winning touchdown. He's just running. He's like, there's a narrated one that I don't have. Hopefully we'll get it. Maybe you can send it to us. Of where they're talking about the miracle after miracle that took place that just doesn't happen in football. The yardage that he got, that he was able to do. This is NFL pro. This is not, you know, college football.
Right.
In the context of that, and then he kneeled down on the very same soil.
Mm-hmm.
And he bowed down to thank God, to thank Jesus Christ for letting him play there and thanking him for that touchdown that he just made. His players are trying to knock him and celebrate him and all that kind of stuff. And he still took his time to kneel down. They call it the Tim Tebow. And he prayed, and he didn't allow people to mess with him at that point. He didn't respond to them. And he bowed his head and his lips moved. And you know what he said? Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what did he do? He bowed down and worshiped God on the same piece of real estate, the same high place that the selected folks wanted to be able to make a sacrifice to Alinsky's methodologies, so it was dedicated to Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And that just blows the whole paradigm. So all of a sudden now, all hell breaks loose against this Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's other Christian athletes, but why is it happening? Because it was on Mile High Stadium. It was right there where in 2008, the selected one from the selected people put this, you know, guy and said, he's the one that we want to be the person that's going to fulfill our agenda that will move from centrist to whatever, and which is against a lot of the values of the Lord in the context of that. And so everything comes against him. And that based on my reports, the coach wanted him, but the owner was just couldn't stand him now.
Right.
Couldn't stand him. It was like, he's winning you games. Why would you not want him? But
that's right.
The question is this: how do owners make their money? Does the money come from the sky? They make their money from people who make their shirts and their hats and the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sure all that pressure started coming in, and it's like he was just gonna lose everything. I mean, he wants to win games, but some underlying organized effort must have come against this whole situation. Of course, I guess the stadium probably belongs to him, maybe, because if he owns it, I don't know. But either way, darkness just started pressing him to say, let's get him out of here. Let's get him out of here. And so now you can see why all this venom went against this young man who was a good player, who they had all the fan paraphernalia. Paraphernalia you could have won, they could have sold right there. And I got one of his pictures right here, as you can see, that was when he's playing for the Denver Broncos, and his books and all that. And they're willing to give all that up because that's what the business person wants. That's what the man would want. He wants to win games.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to sell stuff. But you know what? It's like, but it was too late. What's happened on this particular ground right here?
And his jersey was the number one jersey, paraphernalia, number one jersey sold.
Yep.
They're over $100-some-odd for a professional jersey, so you're right.
Right. And we're going somewhere here to understand this. So you say, oh, okay, it wasn't just against the Christian. It's against this man who worshiped Jesus Christ, who gave glory to God, who God showed himself mighty in some miraculous ways in that game to be able to win it. Mm-hmm. And he was scoring. The quarterbacks don't score touchdowns hardly ever. You know, they're always dodging themselves. They got like packing peanuts around them and stuff, you know, to keep themselves from being hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would have. Anyway, so then he gives the credit to God, but this is what he does. He takes it a step further than 2008. He goes to the ground and hits a knee and bows.
2011,
he bows the knee.
Mm-hmm.
He bows the knee to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
On the very same ground. That's beautiful.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is so beautiful to see that take place. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But what happened? All hell broke loose, and all of a sudden they're going to give this great player to a moneymaker, great player, you know, even pay for performance, and they just shipped him off and made him disappear to New York
Jets.
The New York Jets. It's like, where did he go? What happened? What's going on? Then obviously they didn't trying to do all kinds of things, trying to get him into jockey and all that kind of stuff, and trying to ruin his testimony, I believe. They're trying to do as much stuff as they could.
Mm-hmm.
And then New England then snuffed him out. But that's how the enemy works. He's like, I'll promote you, get you, and next thing you know, you're gone. I don't know. General Petraeus would be a good example of what would happen to someone. But understand this, to show you this, and it's very important to understand that if I was selected, don't take it all out on me. Understand, there's a whole army of folks behind me that selected me. And just like Pastor Jeremiah Wright said, the pastor of Barack Obama, at that time Barack Obama, Senator Obama, And now President Obama, he said, you don't understand. He was selected before he was elected. Then we actually heard the people who were looking at who they were going to select. So we have that in the context of all these conversations. So what did the, and understand, now the DNC is the Democratic National Convention. So they're bringing out their offering, who is the person's going to be, for potentially being the candidate, right? Potentially being the candidate. And so they bring him out. So this is what you ought to find out then. The selected, the ones who did the selecting, not the selected one, they had another DNC. They had another gathering, and it was 4 years later, and they were going to, they were actually trying to rearrange everything that they wanted before President Barack Obama even got there. This has nothing to do with him. He is out of the picture. They are organizing the platform and everything. And what they organize and what you're about to hear, and you can see this on the VFN Torch, 4 years later, understand these progressive type folks who were trying to move us out of our founding documents, move us away from God and his ways, and push us over the cliff to be able to reformulate their concept of utopia and no such thing outside of God, that he's not even there. So you can't blame this on him. He's not even there. These are the organizers that are organizing their convention, and they're laying down the platform for the next 4 years. And this platform, you're going to hear the Democratic National Convention chairperson come out, because they realize they actually removed God from their platform. They removed Jerusalem as the capital of Israel from their platform, and they had to come back and undo it. And when they came back and do it, understand this is what was happening. The ones that selected him, this is what their true heart is in the context of what's going on. We're not, he wasn't there. These are the ones that selected. Never understand this children of the night. Listen up.
President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on.
Now, what you have here, this is a little bit later on, and what I thought was going to be showing. This pastor has just discovered that they removed Jerusalem from the platform. And when you remove Jerusalem from the capital of Israel, you are removing God's, the knowledge of God, and the, you're messing with the apple of his eye, and you're in danger of not even being around anymore doing something like that, because it's a progressive thing, a little here, a little there. And so this pastor, this Methodist pastor, standing up, and he's going, listen, I want to make a motion to, even though we've already sealed the deal here, let's change this. And so he's publicly saying this. The ones who are doing the selecting are saying this in the context of that. That's what he's saying right here.
The screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted and shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a two-thirds vote in the affirmative. All those delegates and
you have to understand that you can see this, the amendments. They're not even talking about the amendments. They just showed them on a big screen. They didn't read these amendments. And the amendments, the first one, or the amendment, one of the amendments are that Jerusalem will be recognized as the capital of Israel. That's the first time it had ever been removed, ever.
Right.
And since it's been a nation. And now they pulled it out. And what they're doing, they're showing, you know, some Arab Americans who are offended that this is even coming up. So you don't have the benefit, unless you go to the VFN Torch, unless you're watching this on Christian Television Network, to see firsthand. But that's what they just showed, the amendments. The amendment just says, so they're trying to bring back in and recognize and write in our platform as our selected leader would recognize Jerusalem as the capital. Prior to this, it was already voted out. Jerusalem's not the capital, which is exactly what Iran would want. That's exactly what the Arab nations would want. And it's like, it's what the Palestinians would
want. Palestinian Authority, yeah.
And so here we are. It's like, my goodness, did we just, you know, so this, the people who selected wanting a transformational presidency, are obviously already cranked it up a huge notch immediately and said, not only potentially, maybe they said, that not only does he have the character, but he has the guts and the nerve to organize the world. Let's do this thing. And think about it. And simultaneously, the Secretary of the State, who was probably going to be the president instead of him at one point at time, because they might have selected her, they were talking about. She's the most traveled in his many, many years, I don't know how far along, a Secretary of State in the history of America. She was going what? She was organizing the world. Organizing the world. This is a person whose daughter got married at George Soros' daughter's house. who wants to be able to organize the world and what's going on. And so here we are now. And so they selected, well, the people who selected, they said, hey, you know, let's go ahead and write it in our agenda. So once it's written in, it's a done deal for the mm-hmm. next 4 years, that we will not recognize Israel as Jerusalem, as the capital of Israel. What does that do? That enables and empowers all the adversaries of Israel around them, the Arab League, to be able to come in and say, hey, the president does not even recognize you.
That's right.
Which makes you think about the folks that selected him have the power of the military now out there in the water, in the Mediterranean, on the coast of Israel, what is surrounded now by adversaries, and one of us is Israel. And so when you look, and he wasn't even at this place, and we're going to play in just a moment the responses when this whole concept is, they had the Russian military, the people that selected the DNC crew mm-hmm. and all that, the ones that make the selection, that they put the Russian Navy fleet up behind the speakers. It was the mm-hmm. Russian fleet. It was Vladimir's fleet. This is the president of Gog and Magog's Navy mm-hmm. military. That's what they were sending a message. They're messaging. They're organizing the world. And now what happened when we went over there, we saw everybody bow down to the prince of Gog and Magog, to Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia. And he stepped in and said, I'm going to resolve all this. And mm-hmm. all the Arab League nations said, okay, you can work out Syria. And the president backed off. It looks like he did have a little bit more flexibility, like he communicated at that particular time. You know, are they using tips from Lucifer to organize America and the world? And we're beginning to see some clear sense here. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's why all that came against him. And so the people who did the selecting now, it's 4 years later, they're in at the Democratic National Convention, and they're beginning to restructure things, and they restructured the platform of the Democratic Party and said, we will not recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Well, a pastor just stood up, you just heard it in the earlier, he stood up in the crowd and said, I'd like to make a motion that we're mm-hmm. going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And so now they're making that motion. You're hearing now the chairman of the Democratic National Convention used Robert's Rules of Order to be able to take a vote. And so this is what he's doing now as you're listening to him.
Favor, say aye. All those delegates opposed, say no.
And this is just a vote to be able
in
to talk about
of the,
it.
Let me do that again. All of those delegates in favor, say aye. All those delegates opposed, say no.
They're saying no louder than they're saying aye to no, we do not want to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Hmm. This is the same place they put the Russian military navy up in the backdrop. This mm-hmm. is the same place that put up styrofoam columns 4 years later. This is the selected crew that's making these selections. Then they're transformational things that are taking place in the context of it. And it's like, you know, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. If we wake up and begin to see, all we have to do is repent and say, God, forgive us for turning away from yeah. what's going on. But now listen, and this is a pretty cool pastor that says, you know, I'm willing to stand up at the point where he's obviously being profiled by one of his fellow Democratic people here is taking pictures of him, and they're mm-hmm. pointing at him. And the ones, and it says Arab American Democrat, the sign that is the lady sitting beside him that's holding, and he has a shirt on, and they're taking a picture of this pastor just for bringing up, hey, the president and I would like to make a motion that, because he's not there, mm-hmm. That Jerusalem is the capital. And so they just, they had more nays, mm-hmm. noes, than they did yes. So they're basically, they just voted, and listen to what happens next. He's in a dilemma here, mm-hmm. because they just voted. And you're going to hear the lady standing beside him because he's confused. And he's like, let me try it again.
Right.
Because they're planning on pushing it. They didn't care what the people thought. They were just going to push it through because they found out they had to do it or what they weren't going to win, probably. Yeah. I don't know. And so the lady beside him, you'll hear her say, you got to give them what they want. Mm. You got to give them what they want. But listen, the chairman's going to bring it back again. You don't know what to do. You can see this on BFN Torch.
I
I guess. God's watching. This is your moment in time. Oh, my goodness.
I'll do that one more time.
Listen up. Listen, you got to hear it one more time. Listen to the background. And then you got to let them do what
they're
going to
do. I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no. In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted. And the platform has been amended as shown on the screen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service. Governor Strickland, thank you again for your service.
There it was. They booed. And the nays, actually the noes had it. And she leaned forward, give them what they want. And he just went ahead and just pushed it on through.
Pushed it through.
And that's when they were taking this former governor and pastor, Methodist pastor's picture for standing up. And it's like, listen, if you have not listened to JJ yet, you need to listen to what is taking place, because the end of this thing is not good. The end of this thing is not good if we don't wake up as believers and realize that God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing what's taking place. So what happened in the context of, got it, what's happened in the context of what happened at Mile High Stadium was an offering.
Sure.
A selected one. The one, it was referred to, the one that was selected, what God told us, the setup one, that was selected to be able to fulfill what they wanted to do, which was, this is what Lucifer told Jesus, if you just worship me, if you just follow my teachings, my ways, I'll give you the authority and I'll give you the splendor. And we saw it all around. But now it's 4 years later, and the ones who are doing the selecting are organizing the platform. They said, we do not want Jerusalem as the capital. Mm. And they try to push, and they pushed it through against the will of Americans, by the way. We're talking about Americans. God does not see us as parties. He sees us as individual Americans. And that was our brothers and sisters in this country, our fellow citizens, that booed God.
That's right.
That booed God. And listen to what happened there. I want you to hear this little short segment, or see it here on CBN News, talking about what God did at Mile High Stadium with Tim Tebow right there, right there on that very place that was the high place.
Denver's upset win over Pittsburgh sent people flocking to the internet. The game made John 3:16 the most searched item on Google. Tebow passed, now look at these numbers, Tebow passed for 316 yards. He averaged 31.6 yards per pass. And guess what CBS's rating for the game peaked at? You guessed it, 31.6. All those 316s had the fans searching the internet, and that's where they found the famous Bible verse where Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Tim Tebow sometimes painted John 3:16 on his eye black when he was in college at the University of Florida. And that's a practice, by the way, the NCAA has since banned.
Now, I want you to hear that again, because what they're saying is that God showed up one of his servants of light to come and to play ball, because he knew that Tim Tebow in front of the whole world would bow down before him, the true God and true light. Not only that he would paint on his face and painted on his face, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. So in the midst of, don't worry about all this darkness going on. Realize God's greater than darkness. That's just men in darkness doing dark things. But understand this. This is what God did in the face of all that with one man named Tim Tebow. Listen one more time. I want you to hear the context of that. Listen to everything was 3:16, 3:16, 3:16. And that's exactly what he painted on his face when he was playing for the Gators there. Listen up.
For work. Tim Tebow's performance Sunday in Denver's upset win over Pittsburgh sent people flocking to the internet. The game made John 3:16 the most searched item on Google. Tebow passed, now look at these numbers, Tebow passed for 316 yards. He averaged 31.6 yards per pass. And guess what CBS's rating for the game peaked at? You guessed it. 31.6. All those 316s had the fans searching the internet, and that's where they found the famous Bible verse where Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Tim Tebow sometimes painted John 3:16 on his eye black when he was in college at the University of Florida. And that's a practice, by the way, the NCAA has since banned.
And that's so amazing. You got to see this. You got to see the Tim Tebow factor. Now you'll understand. And by the way, if one man can do that, imagine what you can do with a light. He's commanded us to go be the light of the world. He's one. We're many. We can all stand up with him. Yeah, obviously the enemy, the darknesses, and those that are held captive are not going to be happy, but we're not serving them. We're not bowing down to darkness. We're actually understand the supreme organizer of the world, Jesus Christ. He is empowering us and allowing them to be anywhere they are. The question is, how are we going to respond? How will we respond to this? Jesus set the example. He set the example for us to stand up before those in authority and you realize that the only reason they have authority is because God has allowed them to have that authority. Mm-hmm. Nothing's been given to them that wasn't given to them from above. And just like Tim Tebow, he just stood up for God. And he just enjoyed God. And think about it. The most searched thing on Google and all the search engines, 316 yards. That was God sending a message out. Doesn't matter what the enemy does. Doesn't matter at all. I can come and dance all over your altar and have people worship me. And all the world now will focus on this one piece of ground, this high place, as he bows the knee to me, knowing that I am Lord and I love the men. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right, the VFM radio program. Just you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us, VFN Radio, taking place. We are so excited about it. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.